So I never knew my dad, and when I was 11 years old, my mom died. And so I moved from San Francisco, California to live with my grandparents in Wetumpka, Oklahoma. And when I was 14 and a half, my grandpa died. And soon after that, I was placed in the Baptist Children's Home because my grandma couldn't take care of me. And at the Baptist Children's Home, I began to really wonder what's going to happen with my life. And through God's providence, I met Dale and Aideen Engel. And after a few months, they adopted me. And I moved from the Baptist Children's Home to Garber, Oklahoma. And in little old Garber, Oklahoma is where God really got a hold of my life. And I'll never forget, I was almost expelled from school after about a week of living in Garber, and I thought Mom Engel was gonna send me back to the children's home and get a refund. And she walked into my room, and I said, "You don't care about me, you don't love me." And she said, "Joel, no matter how bad you are or how good you are, we will always love you, and you will always have a home here with us." And that was the case. After all those years, Mom and Dad Engel, my mom, through college, through marriage, all of my kids being born. And the first thing that comes in my mind is actually a quote from Joel 2:25, that I will restore what the locusts have eaten. And in my adoption story, I can tell you this, that I've experienced the redemptive power of God's love, that I have tested God's grace, and God has always been found perfectly good. And that is the message that I want everyone to know, no matter what you're up against, no matter how bad the chips may feel, how bad life may get, that there's always hope and that God does things that we can't possibly imagine if we'll just surrender our lives to Him.
Adoption stories, fostering stories, are some of my favorite stories to hear because in many ways they are some of the most compelling and inspirational examples of unconditional love, persistence, and sacrifice. And I know by watching you do it that those who are parenting in that pathway of fostering and adopting, it is not easy. And there are a lot of times you run into some heartbreaking disappointments when you choose that path, but it is an important choice. And I am so thankful that many of you are and have chosen to walk that road of parenting, to adopt and to foster. And so this morning, we would like to honor you. If that's you, if you are a parent who has fostered, are fostering, if you're an adoption parent, or you're in the process of doing that, you're pursuing those options, we would like to honor you. So if that's you, you have been, you are, you're pursuing foster adoption, would you raise your hand so that we can just love on you and thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This whole month of May has been designated as Foster Attention Month, just putting the eyes and hearts on this cause. And so we thought a great way for us to kind of end the month is to put our eyes back on an initiative that was started just shortly after our city had the referendum on voting for Lubbock to be a sanctuary city for the unborn. We not only supported that with our vote, but we decided that we would support it in another way, which is to spin up some of our ministry energy and resources to build an in-house support system called SAFE, Supporting Adoption and Fostering Efforts. And so today, as we put our eyes back on SAFE, I want to challenge all of us to reconsider a couple of requests that come to us as we consider this topic. The first one is this: I want every one of us to strengthen our roots in the biblical commission. And I mean that. It is a biblical commission, a value that we find ourselves in support of children in a movement going from unsafe, unstable places into loving homes. I want us to see and build our roots again. Like, that is a biblical conviction. Secondly, I want each one of us, whether we're in the room, we're online, we're over in the overflow area, consider today what is your role in that movement. Some of us may be thinking to ourselves, we're not in a space of life where fostering or adoption is like in our pathway. But let me promise you, there are things we all can do. And so today, I want you to strengthen your sense of like biblical roots. And this is a godly movement, helping children find loving homes. Secondly, I can do something. What is it that I need to do? Now, in terms of strengthening our roots in this biblical value of supporting foster and adoption, I want to read together a simple statement from the scripture. It's taken out of Psalm 68:6. I want us to all say this together. So put it on the screen. Let's verbalize this scripture together. Are you ready? Say it with me. God places the lonely in families. Let's say it again. God places the lonely in families. That, my friend, is the heart of God. His heart beats with a rhythm of seeing the alone placed in the security of a family. And certainly we could include children who are fatherless as the alone. God loves them, cares for them, wants to see them brought into a family. So today, here's our goal. Let's let our heart sync up with God's heart and start pulsing and beating in this cause of the fatherless. Now, as we see that verse of scripture, that God places the lonely in families, it might provoke a question in your mind. And I've heard other people ask this question. What do we think God's referring to when he says he's placing them in families? Is he talking about moving people into spiritual family or like family? What does that mean? Spiritual family or family? I think my answer to that question is yes. It's both. He cares about seeing people brought into his spiritual family, but he also cares about the fatherless finding family. Let's first put our focus on this idea that God wants to place spiritual orphans in his forever family. If you got your Bible, open with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, that'll be our text we'll look at this morning, Romans chapter 8. We'll put it on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you. Now, maybe you've never thought about this before, but in your lifetime, you have been a spiritual orphan. Before you said yes to Christ, invited Jesus into your life, and became a Christian, the Bible says that you were a spiritual orphan. Now listen, unlike earthly orphans who have done nothing to deserve their abandonment, spiritual orphans are entirely responsible for our own alienation. Because the Bible says each of us have sinned. We've made our mistakes. We've chosen our own course of action, which is in rebellion against God's way. And the result of our transgression is that we have become isolated in our sin. We're separated from God. And just like an orphan who helplessly waits for an adoption, there's nothing we can do to change our own state of aloneness. It takes the initiative and action of God to pay our sin's penalty through Christ and then pursue us to remove our isolation and bring us into his family. Let me say it plainly, God adopts people. He adopts lost people, broken people, alone people, isolated by their sin. Listen, traumatized by their condition. Let me say it again. God adopts people. Whenever you're looking through the scripture for examples and analogies that communicate to us the depth of God's love, you'll not find a greater metaphor for God's disposition toward you than adoption. His love is fierce and gracious, and he pursues people to adopt them. That reveals the effort of his love. Now, maybe you didn't know this, but if you were to research like ancient civilizations and cultures, you won't find any culture in human history that doesn't have some expression of adoption. Listen, even in the animal world, you find examples of animals adopting other animals. I was reading some studies this week about animal-to-animal adoption. And the research shows that there are certain animal groups that actually share some of the same points of human empathy toward orphans. And so there are many stories where there are dogs and apes and other species who adopt animals into their pack, into their pride, into their herd. This underwater video captures images of a whale pod that adopted an abandoned, deformed dolphin who has an S-curve in his spine. The dolphins didn't want to swim with him anymore. And those whales adopted him. Let me ask you this question. What is it about creation that has such a soft spot in the heart for adoption? Well, it comes from our Creator. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 15. So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. In other words, the best way to you to frame up your relationship with God would not be master, an overbearing master with fearful slaves. That's not what it looks like to be related to God at all. Goes on to say, instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. There's a couple things to notice out of this passage. One is our penalty of sin, which was paid by Christ, does procure our forgiveness. And aren't we glad for that? It's awesome that God forgives us. But let me say to you, God doesn't want you to just walk through life forgiven. He wants you to be a part of a forever family. And so by his own action, by his own initiative, he has adopted you as his own children. The target of God's spiritual work is not just to heal our sinful soul, it is to mend our separation. God wants you in his family. Also notice the Spirit of God at work in this process. He becomes an agent for our adoption. Verse 16 says, his Spirit joins, look at it, joins with our spirit to affirm we are God's children. It is the role of the Holy Spirit to facilitate this whole new relationship between us and Father God. Now, even if you've never been down the path of fostering or adoption, you know this, that there's an agent or an agency that gets involved. Now, a parent will pay a high price for an adoption. Right now, the average in the state of Texas is $60,000 to $65,000 to adopt a child. So the parent pays a high price, but it's the agency who accepts the payment and then does all the hard work of facilitating that connection between the parent and the adopted child. Even in fostering, there's this same kind of dynamic. There's an agent involved that's bringing about the transaction between the people and the process. Well, listen, in a spiritual sense, the Holy Spirit becomes an agent at work to make adoption between us and Father God a reality. I love how the NIV translates Romans 8:15, which accentuates this work. Look what it says. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption. Now, keep in mind this, that the Holy Spirit can do things that an adoption agent could never do. Adoption agents are so important because once they're brought into the loop, they start doing all the things that they have to do, but there are limitations to what they can do. One limitation is just the buffer of distance. Like they work from their office or they work for some remote location. They'll call you on the phone, but they're not in your house 24/7. I know a lot of people who've been through the process say that would be nice if the adoption agent were living with us and they could understand and see what we're going through so they could be more compassionate, maybe more involved in what's happening, but they can't. They're limited. But notice this, when the Holy Spirit becomes the agent of your adoption, he moves in and provides a 24/7 presence. So if there's a constant flow of confirmation that comes from the Spirit to tell you God loves you and that he wants you. It is the work of the Spirit who so deeply ministers to our orphan heart to deal with long-standing hurts and insecurities that we suffer from our sin separation. Praise be to God for the work of the Spirit in your adoption. Here's one other thing to notice, and that is God's passion about your adoption. Notice you are adopted as his own children. We are God's children, the text says. Notice the emphasis on the fact that you become God's very own child when he adopts you. As I mentioned a moment ago, that there's all kinds of examples of adoption throughout human history, but it was the Romans who developed the legal process of adoption that provided rights and inheritance to the child. In fact, the Roman system, and I think there's still reflections of this in our own system, the Roman system did not allow a parent to ever denounce or cut off an adopted child. They could denounce and cut off their biological child, but by law, they could never denounce that adopted child. They were given rights. And so we read in Romans 8:17, where again, the Apostle Paul is borrowing this positive example of adoption when he says, listen, since we are God's children, we are his heirs. Which means we've been given a divine inheritance of all that God possesses. So as his child, his peace becomes your peace. And his joy is your joy. And his purpose is your purpose. His eternal home is your eternal home. These are the things that become ours because we are heirs to what God has. Now listen to me, without any question, the greatest joy in life is when God saved you and brought you into his forever family. And if that's never happened for you, at the end of this message, I'm going to take time to help you open your heart to the gift of salvation and to the work of the Holy Spirit who wants to bring about your adoption. But before we get there, let's answer the back end or the second part of the question of what does it mean that God puts the lonely in families. Spiritually, we can see that. But I also want you to see, God cares about the fatherless in the world. Listen to these scriptures. Deuteronomy 10:18. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He defends. He becomes an advocate. He becomes an activist for the cause of the fatherless. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this. In other words, if you want to see the most humble and sincere expression of Christian faith, watch how people treat orphans and widows. That's what he says. If you want to see what it's really about, boom, there it is. So we can recognize pretty easily that there is a responsibility in the community of faith for a church to be concerned with and take up the cause of the fatherless. And as a church, listen, we will not be confused about this issue. We will continue through the work of evangelism to bring spiritual orphans home to God. But we will also accept our biblical obligation to not look past the circumstances of the fatherless in our own community. We will do all that we can do for this cause of the fatherless. So let's make sure we see the problem. Because there's that old phrase, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But when you look at the world and fatherlessness, it's broke, y'all. And it needs to be fixed. So from a global perspective, global, worldwide, organizations that have taken up this cause of the orphan tell us that there are 153 million orphans around the world. It's hard to get your mind around that. So let's create an analogy that might help us spatially appreciate that many orphans. Let's for the sake and purposes of this example, put an average age of 8 years for every one of those 153 million orphans. And we'll assign to them the average arm span of an 8-year-old, which is 51 inches. If you were to take those 153 million orphans and stand them hand to hand, they would go from Los Angeles to New York 42 and a half times. That's a problem. But let's let our eyes look a little closer. Let's talk about fatherlessness in the state of Texas. In Texas. Texas. Some would say the buckle of the Bible Belt. In Texas, every 8 minutes, a child is subjected to some measure of mistreatment. Maybe abandonment, physical, emotional abuse, medical neglect, labor trafficking, sex trafficking. In 2019, there were 163,029 investigations open for child mistreatment in Texas homes. As a result of those investigations, listen, thousands of children have been removed from those homes and need safe places. Well, let's look even closer. Let's look to our own community. Lubbock is a part of a region that is assigned by the state of Texas, which includes our county and some surrounding areas. In our region, 14,556 allegations of abuse or neglect are pending. 6,000 of those cases have been completed in terms of investigation. 3,200 children have been granted a conservatorship. 2,900 are in substitutive or foster care. 73 have been emancipated as adults. Just for perspective, our region, depending on how you want to say it, is the worst in Texas. The most needy in Texas. The need has been so high, there's been several alerts come from the county for emergency help. Here's a headline that just kind of registers to us the present reality for people to be available, fostering and adopting children. Now, I want to say to you, I get it. I realize you hear this information, it is so overwhelming, you don't even know where to start. And so I'm thankful that our organization of SAFE is helping us to learn some action steps that we might can take. And so for the next few minutes, I'm going to challenge you in four ways to consider one of these steps in the next few minutes. Pray, give, explore, connect. Pray, give, explore, connect. First of all, pray. Now, can I be honest with you? I almost did not cite this one because I felt like it was kind of a cheap way out. However, if we believe what we say about prayer, then this is no throwaway gesture. Because listen, taking up the plight of the fatherless is a spiritual fight. Russell Moore, who's the director of Christianity Today's Culture Project, which aims to take cultural issues and bring about faith resources, writes this about foster and adoption. He says, it isn't an act of charity. It is a declaration of war. Because there are dark spiritual forces at work to steal, kill, and destroy the lives of children. Satan absolutely hates children because he hates God and he hates seeing God's purpose and plan for children being carried out. So all of this demonic energy aimed at trying to suppress Father God's good work to redeem children from their brokenness and orphanhood. We've got to engage that fight. And how we do that is spiritually, by pulling down those strongholds in prayer and praying for the liberty and grace of God to prevail in these children's lives. So today, as you leave, something that you can get out in the lobby, SAFE has prepared a prayer card for us so that we can spend a little bit of our prayer energy that we have throughout the week to just lift up this cause before the Lord. Because remember, this fight won't be won by just simply people adopting children. It's got to be won in the Spirit. So maybe that's the way God's rallying your passion for action today. But secondly, when you give, you make an impact in this. You probably don't know, but there's a portion of every gift that you give, when you give to Turning Point, a portion of that goes to help in this fight. And there are partners that we have locally and around the world who are helping us engage in caring for children. So we have New Hope Eurasia as an example, who are helping orphans to steer clear from human trafficking schemes in Eastern Europe and Central Asia. Compassion International helps to feed and nurture kids in crisis. Reclaim 43 supports fostering efforts and other problems that stem from fatherlessness in Lubbock. Children's Home of Lubbock, Texas Boys Ranch, Buckner, all provide places of refuge and hope for orphans in our community, and Family Guidance and Outreach Center addresses some of the domestic issues that are at the root of what causes some of these homes to be so unsafe for children. Last year, we granted over $77,000 to those partners to help in this process. And in addition, whenever you donate through Turning Point, part of those resources go to help SAFE. And so over $60,000 in that kind of support, but also some special gifts, has been given to help that organization, that ministry within our house, to purchase supplies for people. When people all of a sudden get a child placement, they might not even have a car seat. All of a sudden, we're there to help them with those kind of needs. Helping with the expense sometimes of just the legal fees. Sometimes home repairs that need to happen in order for the home to be safe and ready for children. All of those kinds of expenses are part of what we do when you give. And even today, 100% of what you purchase in their shop over there with swag and gear and shirts, all that 100% today goes directly into SAVE. So when you give, you make an impact in this area. But then I want you to consider this. Explore. Explore. Up to now, we can all kind of say, man, I can do that. I pray, I can give. But would you explore? Because there's different ways that God could engage you in this journey. Some of you have already had your heart moved in this, and you're already in the process of pursuing some pathways of what it looks like for you to be involved. Some of you are feeling your heart get tugged on today. And so Buckner will be here on Monday night, June 13th, to lead in a process of exploration. How do you get involved with this? You don't have to know the answers before you come to that meeting. All you have is, man, my heart's tugged. And so some of you, that might end up being like, you want to be a foster family. Or you want to foster to adopt. Or you want to participate in a program that Texas has where they've already got children, where their rights have been terminated, and they're ready for adoption right now. Or just getting certified to provide respite care for families that do foster. There's all kinds of ways to explore where you can get involved. I'm just going to urge you, if the Holy Spirit's pinging your heart in any way, shape, or form, come on Monday night, June 13th, and just explore it. Then lastly, connect. Connect. SAFE is our ministry here, and they're ready to help you. There's presence in the lobby. They've got opportunities to serve and support, but there's also connecting points that we're going to put on the screen. Well, if you'll reach out to them, they will connect you with ways you can be involved. Over the last few weeks, we've had more families raise their hand to say, we need help in our fostering journey. We need help in our adoption journey. And we, if we have the people, SAFE can place people to just walk with people. I heard this story. Like, there's a role that you can play where if there's a foster family, you can just be a partner to that foster family so when they're going through a frustration, they can call you. And just out of, man, this is difficult. It's hard. Pray for us. We can't get to the store today. Could you stop by and pick up our medications? When they're going through the process of all of their legal, you could just kind of go with them and stand with them and just be a support. There's all kinds of ways to get connected. And SAFE can help us. One of the things recently that took place was a gotcha party for one of our families who went through adoption. And SAFE just threw a party. And people were able to come to the party and celebrate what God has done. The video you're now going to see is one of our SAFE families and their journey of adoption. Watch this.
Been married now 13 years. We were married in 2008, and our desire was to get married, have a family. A lot of things happened, one of which was that we were unsuccessful in trying to have a family on our own, and so that led us, I mean, it's been a journey, but led us through the process of considering adoption and then going through the process of adoption.
We were open to lots of different ideas through Buckner's. We considered private adoption. We considered foster to adopt. We chose foster to adopt. And you, within probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks of being licensed, we had a 1 and a 2-year-old, which changed our lives dramatically.
So going from just being a married couple to having two toddlers in your home, it's surreal.
We didn't have beds, we didn't have toys. We went to some garage sales, we picked up some things really quickly, car seats, but we spent the first, whenever they were placed with us, we spent the first week at home because we didn't know how to put kids in a car seat and leave the house. Or how do you go to the store with two kids? So we'd both go to the store together just so that one person could push a cart with two kids and entertain them and the other one could shop.
They were 13 months apart, and so they were very good at entertaining each other. I think that they transitioned very well into our home because they had each other. They're biological brothers, and they had each other. They felt safe with each other, and I think that helped them feel safe in our home as well. It's just been so much fun. It really, really has, especially since the adoption process became final. It's been so fun, and it's been just a normal family experience.
So I think that Turning Point's Safe Ministry is an awesome ministry. And I think for someone that's just exploring the option of possibly fostering an adoption, Safe can come along beside you and allow another couple that's been through that, like us, or another family, there's other families in our church, or maybe even someone that's been adopted, to come along beside you, to encourage you, to love on you, to help you through that process. For us, those were in the form of people helping us to get our house ready. Sometimes you might get a placement that's sudden, and you might not have a car seat, you might not have pajamas, you might not have diapers, because you're open to a range of kids anywhere from 2 to 9. And you get a 2-year-old that wears diapers, or you get a 9-year-old. So there's a difference in what you're gonna need, and you can't always be prepared for that. And so, Safe can show up, overnight and provide some, help to provide some of those things that might be needed.
Now we are at a place to where we have an 8 and 9-year-old, and it's been a blessing.
Adoption is precious to God's heart. Spiritual adoptions, family adoptions. We got to be involved in that, y'all. Stand up with me. What's God saying to you? He speaks to hearts. What's He saying to you? How's He nudging you? How's He pinging your heart? What do you need to do? What's your action step? Take it. Pray, take it. Give, take it. Explore, take it. Connect, take it. Nobody gets a pass today. We've all got to put foot to path.